Why don't you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I talked about this a little bit last Wednesday night at Restoration Connection. And as I was praying and seeking God for this morning, he said, I just want you to go back into that. And because there's some truths here that we've got to grab hold of, especially in this hour that we're living right now, you know, there's so many things that are, we could pick a battle a minute. And there's plenty of them. Matter of fact, this week I've been just saying, God, show me where to put my energy. Because there's too many things. And I can't do them all. Show me where to put my energy. Show me what to listen to, because I don't want to just be jerked around, and I don't want to be like a dog chasing his tail out here. I want to actually accomplish something, and not just go around complaining about what is happening. Amen. I want to change what's happening, and I want to make something happen. Amen. And God's power is he's able to do that. He can change the situation. People, when Smith Wigglesworth, he would make a statement that a lot of people didn't understand because they didn't walk where he walked. And they thought it was arrogant, but he said, people would say, well, if God doesn't move, and Smith Wigglesworth said, if God doesn't move, I'll move him. What was he saying? He's saying you're looking at circumstances and let that determine what you do. Amen. Praise God. He believed he was a revival showing up. Amen. Well, what would happen if the body of Christ got that attitude? We're not gonna wait to see if God does something. We are God doing something because we showed up. Something's going to happen because God showed up. He lives inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now this is an apostolic prayer that you need to pray over yourself. Put yourself in first person, that he would fill me with all the fullness of the Godhead, that he would fill me with his presence. I pray these prayers over my life, and I put myself in the position of that, of being prayed for, okay? But there's several statements of faith and direction that's given in this prayer, and Paul is establishing some things. He's establishing who we belong to. We're all under his name. Amen. He said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Amen. God does not have stepchildren. Everybody has his name. When we come to God, we are born of him. We are established in him. This is not a place that we come and we just hope to get close to him that he might recognize us or he might do something. We are his children. Amen. When my grandkids come to my house and they say, Papa, when they get out of the car, they don't have to wonder if I'm going to pay attention to them, because they have already declared me as being important. You understand what I'm talking about? And so when they do that, I step out the door and I embrace them, because they have already declared me as the object of their affection. So I give them what they have declared me as. If we could learn to walk with God like this, when you go into the prayer room, if we could just simply begin our prayers with, Papa! God is not going to turn away from you, because you belong to him. If we, being evil or carnal, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Why would he give you the Holy Spirit? So that you'll never again be disconnected from him. Hallelujah. When I was growing up in the Pentecostal church, we had a lot of phrases that I don't use anymore. They were phrases built on experience. I was talking to Brother Casey about this morning. When we build our faith on our experiences, then we build our faith on a very weak foundation, and we're easily led astray. When I was growing up, when we moved back here to Missouri, before then we were in the glory of God all the time. We traveled with ministers that lived, and we experienced the glory of God. Matter of fact, for the years that my mom and dad traveled with Brother Allen and Brother Shambach, none of us were ever sick. Ever. We never had the flu. We never had colds. We didn't have the measles. We didn't have chicken pox. We didn't have mumps. We didn't have any of the normal things. And yet we were constantly moving from city to city, place to place. We were around every kind of thing that you can imagine. But when they stopped traveling with them and settled down, we all got sick. Got out of that atmosphere. We had everything you can imagine. Measles, chicken pox, mumps. It's like, wow. But we moved back here to Missouri, and when we moved back here to Missouri, there wasn't much going on when it comes to spiritual outpourings. It was pretty hard. It was kind of dead. Amen. I can remember as a kid growing up, whenever we would get in a service where the glory of God was, it was like home to me. I sensed it. I knew that. Those nights were about the only nights I didn't get a whipping during church. Because I was captivated by the presence of God. I recognized, even as a child, I recognized the presence of God. But we had some phrases that I grew up listening to, and that is, boy, the Holy Spirit showed up tonight. And then the next Sunday night would be so dead, everybody slept through it, and the Holy Spirit didn't show up that night. Come on, somebody. Holy Spirit would move through services. You know, it's almost like a vapor, you know, he's just floating around, and every once in a while we was lucky enough for him to float through our church. You know? And that's the night we'd shout our hair down. I mean, well, you know, women did. They had those bobby pin things. When that started taking place, you knew to get under the pew because there were some rockets about to be launched. But we had this idea that Holy Spirit showed up once in a while. It was not preached, nor was it practiced, that Holy Spirit had an abiding presence, that we just experience him once in a while. But the Bible says that he comes to dwell in us. John chapter 15 says that if we abide in the vine and he abides in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be done. The problem is a lot of times the children of God come back to the vine and just try to attach for a few minutes to get blessed, to get strengthened, to get, you know, I need a little charge. But the Bible declares to us that we are to dwell in his presence. And that's what Paul is praying here, that we would understand that we are under his name. We belong to him. And then it says in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now, the riches of his glory means the unlimited wealth of his self-manifested nature and acts. I'm going to have to say that again, because most of the time when you say a sentence like that, we just kind of glaze over. We don't quite catch it. It means the unlimited wealth. God is not limited in his wealth. He can pour out more glory than we can handle. Amen. Matter of fact, I am believing, and I've been praying this for years, and it is happening. I pray all the time that when people crest the top of the hill going north, they drive right into the presence of the Lord. When they crest the hill coming south, they drive right into the presence of the Lord. When they're coming down 176, they drive right into the presence of the Lord. When they're coming from the west on 176 or 160, they come into the presence of the Lord. Why? Because God has not come just to visit. He has come to abide and to dwell. And I want people to experience the glory of God in such a way that they realize he is wealthy. He is not holding back. Amen. He's not giving it out a little at a time. Amen. Heaven is not a communist country. When I was in Cuba several years ago preaching the gospel, back when it was illegal to be there, you wasn't supposed to be there, but we got in. Come in the back door. God got us in there. we preach the gospel all over Cuba, 2 times a day, preaching the gospel in village after village after village, every day preaching the gospel. And those people were giving, they were rationed 1 chicken every 2 weeks per family. That's all they had. 1 chicken every 2 weeks per family. They actually have grocery stores there now. These big, impressive grocery stores. And they are completely packed with food, but it's about 5 items. And most of the stuff on the shelves, nobody wants to eat. It's just stuff they bought and castor beans. Shelf after shelf after shelf of something called castor beans. And the shelves stay full because not even the Cubans like castor beans. We'd have to go down back alleys and make deals with people in the black market and buy gasoline for our little Russian car we were driving because there wasn't enough. And so we'd have to buy it off people that snuck it in, somehow got gasoline, and we'd pay high prices so that we could have gasoline. They didn't have enough. Michael Moore did a documentary on the amazing healthcare in Cuba. Biggest liar I've ever seen in my life. We took in medication in suitcases, smuggled it in because the government clinics didn't even have aspirins. And we smuggled in large suitcases full of antibiotics and aspirins and all kinds of stuff like that, and just prayed for God to get us through the checkpoints. And God sent an angel with an automatic machine gun, a soldier that came over and got us and led us around the checkpoint, didn't even get searched, and took us out the front door of the airport. See, everything was rationed. But the kingdom that we live in is not a rationed kingdom. Of his fullness have we all received. And glory for glory. We are not being rationed today in America when it comes to the presence of God. God is not saying, well, I'll give you a little bit. No, he is sitting there waiting for the people of God to say, God, fill us full. Pour it out. Pour it out. God, you're wealthy, and we receive all your fullness. And when we use it up today, it'll be full again tomorrow. God does not run out. We cannot use up his glory. A lot of us say, well, you know, revivals come and then they quit. Why do they quit? They quit because of us. We get tired. We get distracted. We get proud. And we kill them. We end up taking it out of God's hands and putting it in our hands, and it always comes to nothing. But if we could ever come to a place where we could leave it in God's hands and we can continue to believe in the wealth of the glory of God, the manifested nature and acts of God. God is wealthy in his manifest. God does not want to just show up once in a while. He wants to demonstrate in our lives all the time his nature and his act. God does not want to hold back anything from you. And Apostle Paul is trying to get us to pray this today. that God would grant us according to the riches of his glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't just want a little bit. Amen. I don't want just a little bit. This is something I never want to get to where I don't want anymore. To where I get full and don't want any more. There's never a time we can get full. Have you noticed how hard it is to get kids to eat today? It's because they've never been hungry. Oh boy, I'm meddling now. My grandkids here a while back, they wouldn't eat what was set before them. And when my boys were growing up, there was a rule in our house: if you don't want what mama served, go to your room and play. Do something. But you're not going to sit here and gripe. Amen. Come on, somebody. You know, we'll sit here and complain. I used to tell them, say, this isn't a restaurant where you sit down and order what you want. Amen. Praise God. A lot of you mamby-pamby parents anymore. Oh, you don't want to hurt your children like that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my, they might get upset. They might cry. We need to pass out a book called Don't Love Your Children to Death. Amen. It's called discipline. I told my grandchildren when they just didn't want to eat, I told them, I said, you know what? I think you need to not be given any food for 3 days. They said, what? I said, yeah, if you don't eat for 3 days, there isn't anybody going to have to try to talk you into eating. I said, they were actually staying with us for about a week. And I said, I think for the next 3 days, we need to just not feed you anything. Oh, mean. I know, just mean. Here, honey, have some sugar. Wow, I'm getting mean now. I'm getting mean now. We have got to the point where we pastor churches in America like that. We're always trying to find something that people will eat. Amen. Always setting the dessert table up. Say, come on. If you don't want anything else, at least eat some dessert. We was at a deal, and a lady next to me got some cake, and I asked her, after she got through eating that, I said, how was it? She leaned over to me, she said, it wasn't worth the calories that I just consumed. I said, that's all I needed to know. Some of y'all were saying, man, you need to go back to preaching, you're meddling too much right now. Oh, come on, somebody. Thank God. God has not shown up to try to baby us, to pet us. He has come to give us the fullness of who he is. Amen. It's not just a taste. It's not just an experience. People today want to experience, you know, they want to come and have an experience. You can have an experience in anything. This is not an experience. This is a life. This is something where you get transformed and renewed and you become somebody. Amen. Not just somebody that experiences something. Amen. T.D. Jakes said something here a while back that made more sense than anybody. It wasn't about church. It was about they were trying to pin him down to make a racist statement. And they was talking about, you know, the inequality and all this kind of stuff. And they was trying to get him to make a statement. And he used so much wisdom. He said, let me tell you what's wrong. He said, it isn't the fact that there's not enough. He said, the fact is we are no longer a producing nation. We are a consumer nation. He said, we used to produce, and our fulfillment and our provision came from what we were able to produce. But he said, today we're a consumer nation and we get our value according to what we're able to buy. He said, that's why kids are killing each other in the street for 100 pair of Nikes. Because it's all about what you're able to buy, what you're able to have. But he said there was a time in this country where everything was about how much we could produce. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be plain and straight. It's time for the church to quit being a consumer country and go back to being a producer and start producing the presence of God, start producing the miracles of God, start producing the salvations of God. Amen. We are not living in a time where we can play games, but the church has got to be able to start manifesting the things of God. And he says right here in this prayer that a God would, according to the riches of his glory, what's the next part? According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. If we ever needed anything today, it's that right there. We need to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Amen. We're trying to live this thing and do it in man's ability. This is way too big for man. This is God's size. We don't want to produce something man's size. We want to produce something that's God's size. If it's man's size, it means we can manage it. If it's God's size, it means every day we're saying, oh God, help. We don't know what to do with this. I want to see a God's size miracle. I want to see a God-sized outpouring. Amen. Praise God. I watch, have you had a chance to watch that movie, Jesus Revolution? I just watched that last night, and it messed me up. I knew about it. I've studied it. I've read about it. And for years, I've been saying that the church missed one of the greatest opportunities they ever had when the Jesus movement hit this country. The church rejected it when they should have embraced it. And this whole nation would have been changed because people were hungry for Jesus and they were looking for truth, looking for somebody that can change me. It started out in drugs, and when the drugs brought disappointment, the next thing you know, it goes from drugs, it goes to somebody showing up and saying, I can tell you what is real. And I can show you what's real. Amen. It wasn't in the right package. It didn't smell right. But God showed up in a bunch of teenagers that were saying, God, where are you? We can't find you. The whole reason they dove headfirst into drugs was because they were looking for God. And somebody started telling them that a hallucinogenic experience would connect them to God. Well, that fell on his face. And so the next thing you know, somebody shows up and starts saying, hey, if you want to know what's real, I've got it. Jesus is real. And next thing you know, there's thousands of people being baptized in the ocean. Thousands of them being baptized, coming to Jesus. They run out of room. And after that movie was over, I was sitting there thinking, God, where are they at? And where's my Lonnie Frisbee? Amen. I'm the old preacher now. That's hard for me to admit. I used to be the youngest preacher ever. For years, everybody had problems because I was too young. They didn't want me pastoring. They didn't want me preaching because I was too young. Well, I have done went over that, and now I'm the old guy. And now I'm wondering how long it's going to be before I'm too old. Come on, somebody. But I'm thinking, where are the people that are so hungry for reality, so hungry for God, that they'll break through the cultural norms and begin to declare who Jesus is and demonstrate who he is? Hallelujah. Be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Praise God. That's not being strengthened with the strength we know of. It's his strength and his might. Being strengthened with his might through his spirit in our inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. You know what that means? That by faith, you're immovable. Nobody can move you off of this. Amen. Nobody can move you off of this. Praise God. Nobody can change your mind. It doesn't matter what they say, nobody can change my mind. Because I've received a truth. And he's demonstrated that truth to me. Amen. Hallelujah. It is futile to try to argue with somebody who has lived through the storm. And you trying to argue from the outside of the storm and tell them what it was like and what really happened. And they didn't live through the storm. It's futile to try to explain that to somebody. And most of us in here, we've been on the inside of the tornado, and we don't know, we don't need anybody from the outside trying to explain to us what's happening on the inside. We know. Amen. They come up to me and say, well, you know, Jesus can't help you. You're late. Jesus can't deliver you. He showed up just a little too late. He already has. Amen. I had a man tell me, say, look, preacher, Jesus don't heal anymore. That passed away with the apostles. I said, oops. I wish you'd have told me that a few years ago, because I've done lived through a whole lot of healings. I've already experienced the faith of God being produced. You're a little late. Amen. And we need to take that confidence that we have gained through the battles and through the warfares, and we need to take that confidence and we need to start walking forward with it. As Brother Collins said today, the muzzle has been taken off, the chains and fetters have been broken, and it's time for the body of Christ to walk out of the prison door that we found ourselves locked in. The door has been open, and God's kicking Peter. The angels are kicking Peter and saying, get up. Come on, Simon, get up, wake up, get out of here. And Simon finally wakes up and goes staggering out the door and doesn't even realize what's going on. He thinks he's dreaming, gets on the outside and he realizes, hey, I just walked out of jail. So he went to the only place that he knew to go to, the people that's praying for him to be released knocks on the door. And they said, well, we've been praying for him to be released, but that can't be him. They told young lady, said, no, you're having some kind of hallucination or something. Peter had to stand out there knocking until they finally come to the place where they realized God answered their prayers. They stand with me today. Hallelujah. God answered their prayers. You've had too many prayers answered to lose faith now. You've seen too many victories to stop believing now. You've walked too many miles to just go sit down. Amen. God's kept us through too many storms for us to stand here and shake and tremble because there's a storm approaching. When you've walked through them, you know them. When you're not afraid. My dad was always telling me, because he always had big tents up. Some of the biggest ones, they'd seat 20,000 people. Can you imagine how much air can get underneath one of those tents? And growing up, he would tell me what to look for. And when you'd see that greenish black front begin to roll in, and that wall cloud begin to form, he'd say, you gotta, when that greenish black color begins to show up, he said, that's the storms that'll blow your tent down. And so knowing that, I watched it all the time. And growing up, I was never afraid of storms. Matter of fact, I built me this little shelter against a tree, worst place you could have it. And when a storm would start coming in, one of those bad blowing storms, I built this shelter next to a tree in the woods overlooking this low place. And when it starts storming, I'd run out of the house and I would run as fast as I could to my little shelter. And I would crawl inside that shelter and I would sit there and watch the storm. Limbs would be breaking off, torrential rains, hailstones. And I'd sit there in that little shelter and I'd watch the storm and felt completely safe. That's some of the most peaceful moments that I remember as a young child, was sitting in the middle of a storm. And then when it's just high winds and not, you know, not the rain and all that kind of stuff, when just high winds would start coming, I had this one real big cedar tree that I'd run to. And I'd climb all the way up on that top of that cedar tree, because they're real small up at the top. I'd climb all the way up top of that cedar tree and hang on to it, and I would just, the wind would just, I'd just blow around like this. I'd just ride the wind. That tree would just be moving, and you know, it was awesome. It was some of the funnest times that I remember. I grew up unafraid of the storm because I had a dad that had experienced the storms and lived through them and told me about them. We've got a Father. We've got a Savior seated at the right hand of the Father that has experienced the storm. He's experienced the rejection. He's experienced everything that we can go through. And he was victorious over it. And I want you to just take courage today as the body of Christ. There's not a storm that can take you down if you'll stay in the strength and might of His Spirit in the inner man by faith. Father, Lord, we stand before You today, God, completely and absolutely incapable of doing anything without You. But Lord, through You, we can do all things. You are our strength. You're our power. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. A sister, Val, starts singing this song, beautiful, amazing song, The Love of God. I want you to take all of the things that have put your fire out. The experiences that have smothered you, the experiences that have stopped you, the people that have injured you. I want you to take all that and give it to God today and say, God, I don't want to be smothered out anymore. I don't want to be stopped anymore. Father, I need strength and might in my inner man. And I come to You by faith today. Thank You, Father. Lord, we cast down fear. Fear of man. Fear of rejection. God, we cast down fear today. We cast down doubt.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I thank You today that faith comes alive inside of us. The faith that You gave us today. Just do that right now. Just lift it up to God. Say, God, here it is. Here they are, Lord.
Yeah.